Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey there, welcome to the Dr. Nina Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin. I'm a psychoanalyst specializing in food, weight, and body image issues, and I'm here to help you lose weight without dieting. That means no more counting calories or carbs, no more thinking about food all the time. It really is possible to lose weight and gain health, all without ever going on another diet. So today I have a special guest, anti-aging expert Darnell Cox. But before I introduce her to you, I want to share why I wanted her on the show today. Because lately I have noticed something really interesting. Lots of people, after they lose weight, they tell me, oh, I look older. Oh, I didn't have that saggy spot on my face, you know, when I was 50 pounds heavier. They don't like it. Or they're afraid to lose weight because they think they're going to look more wrinkled and older. So what to do? And that's where Darnell Cox comes in. She is a leading anti-aging expert and blogger. She is the founder of Live Young Lifestyle. And her mission is to attack the aging process from every angle, mind, body, and spirit. Darnell bought her first wrinkle cream as a teenager. That's something. And she has never looked back. And now she is almost 50 years old, which, you know, if you saw her, you could not believe that. She must have a picture growing old in an attic somewhere. And she's the mother of three young adults, and her passion is aging well. And we have a caller. I'll call her already. Hi, caller, you're on with Dr. Nina and Darnell Cox.
Hello.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if you had a guest. My computer is not acting for me, and I wanted to throw something at you for just a quick minute, if I could. This is Nick.
Hello, Nick. I recognize your voice. Regular caller, Nick. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. I'll just take a minute of time here because it's something that we've been working on for a very, very, very long time. And something hit me this weekend that I had to see it and say it about something else for me to understand it. And it was Chris, my friend, had a minor operation, and her friends were all calling and saying certain things. And one friend called, and she says to me last night at dinner, she says, you know, it was really strange. This one friend to me, she said it as if it was my fault that I had to have this procedure. And then we both said, that's farther from the truth. Of course not, it's your fault. And she said it. And I looked at it, and I said to her, you know, that person probably has something else on her mind to say something like that. Because she really wouldn't mean, because it's not right like that. So, and then I said, you know, we've been talking all along, and I've been saying it and saying that if I eat ice cream, I mean, it's something else that's bothering me why
yes.
I'm eating that ice cream.
Exactly. Wait. Yes. I love that you had that moment of insight.
Absolutely.
It's like Helen Keller.
Exactly. It just hit me that night at dinner. I said, yeah. And that came out of my mouth. And I said, it's like it went into mine. I saw it someplace else. It came into my brain. And all of a sudden, I'm thinking like that. And I just wanted to say that to you because we've been talking about it, and I'm hearing it and hearing it and hearing it, but sometimes it finally got into my brain, seeing it on Chris's friend saying that to them, and me feeling comfortable about saying that about her friend, and feel confident saying that about her friend.
That's
and
wonderful.
That's what I wanted to share with
you. I am so glad that you called to share that, because sometimes, you know, we plant a seed, and it takes a long time. We water it, and we water it, and we water it, and we hope it's growing. And then eventually it comes out and it blooms. And what you're saying is you realize that intellectually you knew why you were turning to ice cream, or you came to realize it in your head, but you really had this moment of feeling it, that something was going on with you that was making you turn to ice cream to resolve something unsettling within you. So that's wonderful.
Okay, I wanted to share that, and I'll keep my computer running, and I'll hear the rest of the show. I look forward to hearing about it.
Okay, wonderful, Nick. Thank you so much for starting the show off with such good news.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye. Oh, that was Nick, our regular caller, and he's...
So sweet.
Yes. Oh, I love hearing that. Okay, back to you, Darnell. She's almost 50, but trust me, folks, she does not look it. Like, maybe 30.
Smoke and mirrors. It's all smoke and mirrors.
I don't think so. I think you're going to tell us some of your tips.
I am.
Yes. So she is the mother of three adult children, and her passion is aging well. And she focuses on four key areas. Like I said, looking young, eating young, moving young, and being young. And she has a ton of content on her blog. She's got beauty and fitness product reviews, healthy recipes, anti-wrinkle tips, meditation, and happiness guidance.
Yes.
Welcome, Darnell.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so glad you're here. So I have to know why, as a teenager, you got into the anti-aging business.
You know, I really wish I could answer that question, but I think I was one of those people that just kind of came out of the womb, you know, looking for lip gloss and worried about baby cankles and just very into fitness, and that's always been a part of my life. And so as I grew up, you know, I experimented with lots of different products and gave tips to friends, but I ended up majoring in psychology, so I have a master's in psychology. But I've always been interested in fitness and in health and in looking your best, because I really do believe that there is a connection between how we look on the outside and how we feel about ourselves on the inside. And I think that works in the reverse as well. If we feel good about who we are and what we're doing on this planet for the limited amount of time that we have here, it tends to show on the outside. So it's very interrelated.
Absolutely. As they say, happiness is an inside job.
Yeah.
And if you've ever seen a beautiful person who's depressed, you know,
right.
It has to come from within.
Right. And you carry yourself different. You carry yourself. You become a much more appealing person to the universe when you feel good about yourself, because your chin is higher, your chest is out. You just shine in a different way. But it also works if you know, when you look in the mirror, if you feel good about how you look on the outside, it then affects your mood on the inside. So anybody who's ever had, any women that have had like great hair days, they, you know, you guys know what I'm talking about. When I have a really great hair day, like, I'm not going to sit on the couch and eat a bag of Doritos. I'm going to get out in the world. I'm going to go to lunch with girlfriends. You want to run into every ex-boyfriend you ever had. Like, when you feel good about yourself, it changes what you do with that day.
Yes. Now, what would you say to those people who have lost weight and they're seeing lines on their faces that weren't there before, wrinkles that weren't there before, and they're going to say, well, that's fine. I feel good about myself, but I still got these wrinkles. What can I do? What can I do? So what are some of your...
Boy, how long do we have on this show?
We have enough time to start.
Okay, first of all, I always say that when you get older, when you start getting a little bit older, a little bit of extra weight on your face and on your body is healthy. There's a reason why... genetically, as we get older, our metabolism slows down, and we don't want to be frail when we're older. But if you have struggled with your weight your whole life and you lose weight, it is true. It's almost like especially in our face, if we've blown up a balloon so many times with weight fluctuation, it loses that elasticity. And so then what do you do? Well,
exactly. Help, Darnell.
There are a few different things that I believe are the keystone to making your skin great. And it's not as complicated as you would think. We are bombarded with this anti-aging industry is a multi-billion dollar industry. So we are bombarded with products and it becomes very confusing. But if you really want to get down to the basics of how can you make your skin start behaving like it did when it was younger, there's a few things that are essential. You have to do a Retin-A product or a retinoid. It is the only topical cream that has been clinically proven to reduce the signs of wrinkles, to help with elasticity, to build up collagen, which is what you need when you've lost that weight and you've got this saggy skin. So that is a topical thing that, you know, and it doesn't cost a fortune. If you're spending a fortune on anti-aging products, you are buying into the marketing. And the people that are you know, the marketing, if I always say, like, if they make a handbag or an eyeshadow, do not buy an anti-aging product from that company because the research is not in the anti-aging field. But you can, if you find a really great dermatologist, most dermatologists will sell a prescription Retin-A for, like, $50, and it'll last you months. So the next time you go to your dermatologist, which everybody should because skin cancer is real and you should get checked a lot, but get the Retin-A from them. That's the cheapest place. And it's not in fancy packaging. It's got usually the sticker, you know, that they put right on the little white bottle. So that is one thing that I would say it's imperative that you use something like that. And when you use Retin-A, you have to protect your skin from the sun.
Sunscreen.
I always, even if I'm inside and I decide, like, I'm working today, I'm not really going to be outside, I still use sunscreen because it's amazing how much UV rays come through windows and things like that. You know, you go out and walk your dog even for 15 minutes, and that can really damage your skin, especially if you're doing things like Retin-A and like different lasers. To make your skin act like it's younger. It's also susceptible to the sun, just like younger skin is.
And it's preventative, not only skin cancer, but it prevents aging.
Yes, that is true. Yeah. That is absolutely true. So that's the one thing that you really have to do. And, you know, even it's amazing. I've seen so many studies, and one of the studies I saw was done on a truck driver. So he had driven a big rig his entire life, and they showed a picture of his face, and the driver's side window looked 20 years older than the other side of his face.
Amazing.
So the sun is the number one thing that can age your skin. So you need to protect it.
Okay, here's a question. You know how they say, here, have a face cream and then have an eye cream. And I always wondered, is that just brilliant marketing?
It is brilliant marketing.
Because do you really need a different cream? Okay.
I wrote a blog called Beauty on a Budget that is on liveyounglifestyle.com. And I went through all of those myths of, you know, if you really want to scale it down and see what you really need, the essentials is you need a retinoid product, you need a Retin-A, you do not need an extra eye cream. The only way I would say if you are one that suffers from puffiness and bags, then in the morning you would use an eye cream that has like a little bit of caffeine in it. That would help to diminish those, you know,
to shrink
those bags.
Yeah.
But at night, no, you don't. You can use your Retin-A right up to your eye. They say don't do that, but you can. It does migrate a little bit, so you want to stay, like, you know, just along that orbital bone. But no, you don't need an extra eye cream.
Or a neck cream?
Now, here's where it's going to surprise you. I love a neck cream because we do not have the same kind of pores on our neck as we do on our face. So we have oil glands on our face, our underarms, our hands, our feet, our private areas. But we do not have the same kind of oil glands on our neck. So our necks can get extremely dry. And it's if you use a retinoid product on your neck, it can be very irritating as compared to the skin on your face.
So interesting. I am so glad that I asked because I would have thought it's the same wherever.
No.
Yeah.
No. And here's another thing I wanted to talk about, because we did talk about, you know, the sunscreen and the Retin-A products, but there are a lot of at-home devices that you can use if you have saggy skin. One of my videos on my YouTube channel was my favorite at-home beauty anti-aging devices. And one thing that I do every week that I think would help a lot of your listeners, if you have saggy skin, you want your skin to start behaving like it did when it was younger. Now, we stop making collagen at the age of 25, which is scary. So when you're 25 years old, that is the best skin that you're going to have. So
it's all downhill from there.
It's a slippery slope.
Unless you have anti-aging devices and Retin-A.
Yes, because Retin-A stimulates collagen because it's irritating your skin. It's creating little microtraumas. But also microneedling. They have, you know, these at-home microneedling kits that you can get on Amazon for like $20. And it's creating little microscopic trauma to your skin. So just like when we were younger and we'd fall down, we'd skin our knee and it would create a scab. Well, that area of injury is calling to the cells around there to create collagen to then heal itself. So if you create these micro traumas by yourself, either through lasers, through like the new face is good with stimulation, Retin-A, but also like microneedling is something I do on a daily basis, and I do it on my whole body. So I've had three kids, so I do it on my stomach, the back of my arms, my face, neck, chest, everything once a week. And it's creating those micro traumas that then call your skin to start making collagen, and that's how it's behaving like it did in its 20s.
Amazing. Amazing that rolling little needles along your skin can be the key to feeling and looking younger. If you have any questions for Darnell, please give us a call at 818-602-4929. Again, 818-602-4929. So tell us more about these devices. There's so many of them.
There are a lot of them coming out. And, people, lasers in a med spa are not cheap. The funny thing is people, when they go into a med spa, they want it to be fixed, and they want it to be fixed, you know, a substantial difference. And most of those lasers, like the Ulthera, the IPL, things like that, it's not as drastic a difference as you would think. And so you're spending a lot of money to tighten your skin, and it's not as drastic as you think. Nothing will ever take the place of like surgery. It just won't. But they're very pricey. So they're coming out with a lot of at-home devices that are extremely reasonably priced that you can use on a consistent basis, as opposed to going in like once every 6 months for a laser in a med spa. Mm-hmm. You're having a less intense experience at home when you're doing it to yourself, but you can do it every day or once a week, so that consistency can build up and be almost as effective as the devices, you know, the lasers that you can get in a med spa.
So what would be an example of one of those types of lasers?
Well, like the new face is it's like a microcurrent. So that actually stimulates the muscles to contract. So it's kind of like you're getting, you know, a workout for your face. And as we age, those muscles fall. They droop just like anything else. Gravity takes over and they fall, and the skin kind of goes along for the ride. So it creates like the jowls and that kind of saggy skin. So anytime that you can stimulate that and work those facial muscles, you're helping with everything, with the outside skin, because it is creating like a little bit of wake me up, come, something is going on here, let's create some collagen to fix, but it's also stimulating the muscle. So I really like the new face. I use that probably, well, I would say I would do it for like 5 or 6 days in a row, and then I'd wait a couple weeks, and then do it, you know, every like once a week or so. The microneedling, which is not a laser, but it's just that it looks like a medieval torture device.
I have the Nurse Jamie stamp that you recommend.
I love that.
It's actually deeper. It feels deeper than a roller. It just feels like
Well, there's
like
different
it,
depths of the roller. So, you can get I always recommend a 1.5 millimeter on the derma rollers or on the microneedling rollers. But I'm always like a go big or go home kind of gal, but you might have a roller that's only a 0.5 mm-hmm. or a 1.0, and then you're not getting the
same
depth.
You're not doing much, right?
If you're feeling it poke you, then you're doing something, but I tend to like want to do a little more than something, so I go for the 1.5 millimeter, and a lot of them come in a kit, so you'll have like different depths that you can use.
Right. I like that stamp.
I do too, and I like the stamp for around the eyes because you have more control over it. I actually use that stamp every night, so I'll stamp around my eyes and I'll put all my stuff on, but it's a lot more controllable than rolling that thing next to your eye. But I do it on my eyelids because we get crepey skin on our mm-hmm. eyelids and right up to the eye. So I love that.
I guess we should explain what this is.
It's kind of like it's as if you know, like you would seal a letter in the old days, you'd melt the wax and you'd seal a letter like that. It kind of looks like that, but with needles on the stamping side. So you stamp out these, you know, squares of microtrauma around your eyes, and it's stimulating collagen and increasing the elasticity, and it's fantastic. I mean,
and it doesn't hurt. And it doesn't hurt. I mean, you could feel it.
Right.
I mean, it's not the most pleasant sensation, but
it's completely bearable.
We have to, it's bearable, and we have to suffer for beauty.
No pain, no gain.
That's right. All right. So, what about any other devices that you can think of?
I also like Nurse Jamie's Uplift, which is for me. It's, you know, instead of using the anti-puffing eye cream in the morning, I'll take that Uplift, which is just a mechanical little octagon-shaped device that has tourmaline inside of it that's supposed to brighten your skin. But I think the main purpose of that little device is that it pushes all the fluid out of your skin. So it's kind of like a lymphatic drainage for your skin. So you wake up in the morning, you've got bags under your eyes, and your skin's just a little puffy because we've been horizontal all night. And so when I drink my green tea in the morning, I'll just uplift. I'll roll all that fluid out and you always want to, you know, roll back towards your ears because that's where the drainage is for the lymphatic drainage.
Oh,
so it kind of chisels your face out. There is
science behind all of this. So what about beauty from the inside out as far as what can we eat? This is not about weight loss, but what can we eat to make our skin better?
Yes, you can literally eat your way to better skin. In fact, I wrote a blog on liveyounglifestyle.com that's called Eat Your Way to Better Skin. And it's all those what I call pretty food. So my favorites among the pretty food are salmon. Salmon is so good for your skin with all the omega-3 fatty, you know, all the fatty fish oil is really good. But also things like avocados, dark leafy greens, cantaloupe. Cantaloupe is amazing for your skin. Anything like the vitamin A's. So if you were to take supplements, you'd want an A, you'd want an E, you'd want a fish oil, you'd want a K. There's certain things that we need that make your skin really shine. So you got to attack it from the outside, and you have to attack it from the inside. And of course, green tea and a ton of water.
So yeah, I happen to think drinking coffee and red wine is like hydrating your body. So I guess that's.
Well, red wine is good for your skin if you can stop at one glass. I don't tend to stop at the one glass, and so then it becomes a little bit detrimental to your skin.
Yes, I had an acupuncturist on my interview series on Focus TV, and she's like, you know, the best thing you can do for your body is wake up and drink something warm. And I'm like, perfect, because I just sort of mainline coffee. And she's like, no, not coffee, tea.
Right. Yeah, I probably drink about 3 cups of green tea every morning. Yeah, it's one of my favorites. It's so good for you. It's really good for your skin. It's really good for your metabolism. It's great.
What do you think about these new things I'm seeing with which is like collagen supplements, like that stir into your, like make a drink or those bone broth things and all of that?
What are your takes on that? Science behind it. But here's the thing. You cannot take a collagen supplement and think that it's going to go to your skin. It just makes no scientific sense. But here's what it does do. we have to make that collagen. If we're going to use microneedling and we're going to create those little traumas and we're using Retin-A, in order to make that collagen, you need to make sure that you have the nutrients in your body to do so. So it's not that when you when you're drinking bone broth or when you're taking like a powdered collagen supplement, which I do. I do all of that. But I'm also creating the microtraumas in my skin and then making sure through the collagen supplements that I have the nutrients in my body to then recover from it in the most efficient and best way. So that's why.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So you can't, I wouldn't just drink bone broth or do supplements without, you know, doing without doing anything else. It's not going to go to your skin. It's just the nutrients that we need in order to formulate that ourselves.
Now, you mentioned salmon, but what about vegetarians? What if someone's a vegetarian and they want beautiful glowing skin, but they can't eat protein from animal or fish sources? What do you say to them?
Well, there's, you know, dark leafy greens. You know, you well, as far as being a vegetarian, beans and stuff like that. But for pretty skin, it's the cantaloupe. It's the dark leafy greens. It's raw almonds, avocados. All of that stuff is really good for your skin.
So raw almonds, what you're saying is whole foods are really the best.
Yeah. Yeah. If it comes in a box, it's not a whole food. Yeah.
Exactly. If it comes in a wrapper.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's not so good for you.
Not so good
even
for
if it
you.
Says healthy on the outside.
That's right. And now, you know, it's really difficult because it seems like the Food and Drug Administration, they just can't really seem to get it right. Nothing is sticking over a few years. Like a couple years ago, coconut oil was a big craze to put, you know, to not use butter but use coconut oil in everything. Well, coconut oil is a saturated fat. It is hard at room temperature. And it just became like this, you know, air quote, healthy thing that is not so healthy for you.
Right.
So there's a lot of conflicting evidence out there as far as what is healthy for you and what is not. But the one thing's for sure, if it comes in a box or a bag, it's probably not that healthy for you.
Right. And people ask me all the time, like, well, what do you eat? You know, what's your secret? And I say, I whatever I want, but I only eat one thing that comes out of a carton or a wrapper. Just one thing a day.
Oh,
no more.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Huh. So what would
I
it be today?
I feel better. Haven't had it yet.
Okay.
But yeah. I don't know. Maybe toast.
Yeah.
Because that comes out of a wrapper, even though you have to get it at the bakery, because that's the most healthy kind, not the
right.
kind that you get at
right. Well, now they're saying that, you know, even those that are labeled as healthy, like the whole grain, if it is pulverized into flour and it's made into bread, your body can't, besides the nutrients involved, as far as how your body reacts to it and the sugar that is produced from that, your body can't really tell that much of a difference. So it's like an orange. If you drank a glass of orange juice or you had an orange crush soda, your body can't differentiate that sugar. It just still goes into your bloodstream way too fast and gets stored as fat. Right. You're getting the vitamin C from the orange juice.
Better to have the orange.
Yeah, because then you have the fiber in the orange that mitigates the way that the sugar hits your bloodstream. And the slower we can get your sugar to hit the bloodstream, the better you feel. You won't have those sugar crashes, and it doesn't get stored as fat. It just, you know, your body will utilize it a little bit better. So fiber is our friend.
Yeah. Fiber is our friend.
Fiber is our friend.
And eating the rainbow. I mean, I mentioned toast. Boy, toast, coffee, red wine. I am giving a bad impression out there today. But everything in moderation, you
yes.
know? But eating as many colors as possible is really also key.
Absolutely.
And you feel better, too, when you eat those kinds of things. I've had so many patients who come in and they're like, well, I don't know why I'm not losing weight. I'm only eating 1,000 calories a day. And I ask them, well, what are you eating? Well, I eat a shake in the morning,
yeah.
and I eat a protein bar for
right.
lunch. And
right.
it's like you're not eating food. You're eating
right.
chemicals.
One calorie does not equal a calorie doesn't equal a calorie. So a calorie, like 100 calories of orange juice, is not the same as 100 calories of oranges.
Right.
It just doesn't hit your bloodstream the same way, and you're not going to have that sugar crash that you will with the orange juice, that you, and you won't have that with the oranges. So a calorie does not equal a calorie. You can't eat 1,000 calories of ice cream or 1,000 calories of spinach and think that it's your body's going to look the same, or your skin will look the same.
And also, when you eat healthy food, you feel physically better. And when you feel physically better, you're more likely to get off the couch and do something, or fun, or see other people, or, you know, feed your mind and seek comfort from people instead of from food. Mm-hmm. Just enjoy your life.
Right. Yeah. I really do believe it's all connected. The better we feel, the better we look. The better we look, the more we want to get out there in the world. The more we get out there in the world, the more we want to take care of ourselves. It's just this amazing cycle. Yeah.
Yeah, it's all very symbiotic. So I have seen you on Instagram, and you do a lot of Pilates, and you do, you know, you show all these things that you're doing for exercise. Talk about the exercise component of aging.
Yeah. Well, just like we stop making collagen at the age of 25, we start losing muscle mass at the age of 30. So we can't exercise the same way that we did when we were in our 20s. You can't just do spin class or go out running and think that you're going to be the healthiest you can be. Because we're losing muscle mass, we have to do resistance training. So you have to weight train. Mm-hmm. You have to do Pilates as resistance training, even just using your own body weight, push-ups, things like that. But you need to build muscle mass. And our muscles become calorie-burning machines. So the more muscle mass you have, the thinner you're going to be. It seems counterintuitive. And I'm not talking about what it looks like on a scale. I don't even own a scale. But it has to do with not being frail when you get older. So you need muscle to do that, and you need to be flexible. And both of those things will help you to avoid injuries.
And muscle requires more calories than fat.
That's
so
right.
Actually having more muscle revs up your metabolism.
Absolutely. So if you were to go and run for 3 miles and go home and eat a bagel, you just put all those calories back in. But if you were to lift weights for an hour, and what you're doing when you're lifting weights is creating little micro traumas to your muscle. Again, here's the micro trauma, but now we're talking about inside your body. So you're creating little tears in that muscle fiber, and it takes calories to repair that. Well, when you go out and run, instantly you can eat a bagel, and you've done great things for your heart and lungs, but it takes at least three days to repair muscle fiber. So for 3 days, what you're eating is going into repairing that muscle. So our muscles become calorie burning machines. Yeah.
Whoever designed this really did a good job.
And a lot of women out there, you know, I lift heavy, and I've been lifting weights probably since I was 25, something like that. Resistance training has always been a part of my life, and I feel like it's the one exercise that really can change the shape of your body and has a drastic effect on your metabolism. But there are a lot of women out there that are really afraid to lift weights because they think that they're going to become like these bulky, giant, veined women. And you really, that's only with competitive bodybuilding.
And steroids.
And I was going to say, and some help.
some help. Steroids.
But a normal woman who's hitting the gym 3 or 4 days a week and they're lifting weights, we're women. We're only going to get so big. Genetically, we can't. I lift heavy, and I'm not.
She's tiny.
I'm not a big person.
Yeah.
You know, you'll have little cuts and things like that, and you'll get to a lot of muscle tone, and you're burning calories. But we're not gonna increase that much in size.
No, you just get toned.
You get toned. Yeah.
And, yeah, it's such a fallacy about that. Like, I can't lift heavy weights. And you see people lifting 2-pound weights. It's like, what are you doing? You're doing nothing. Lifting 2 pounds weight is not going to help you.
Right. Now, on the flip side of that, there are a lot of, I'm watching a lot of people on Instagram that are squatting a ridiculous amount of weight. I mean, hundreds of pounds on this bar, and they're squatting it 2 or 3 times. There is the extreme, and I look at those people and think, I wonder what their knees and their mm-hmm. ankles and their hips and their back are going to be like in 10 to 20 years. Right. So you have to, you know, you want to lift safe. You want to lift heavy, but you want to lift safely, and you don't, you know, you got to take your ego out of the gym.
Heavy, but not heavy, does not mean going to extremes.
Right.
It means
right.
pushing yourself to your limits. So if you currently have a 2-pound weight, try a 5-pound weight
exactly.
as opposed to a 50-pound weight.
Exactly. You want to go to muscle failure, really. Like you want you. It shouldn't be easy. Lifting weights shouldn't be easy. It should. You should go to the point where, wow, I can barely get this last set up. That's when you really know. Okay, those last 5 reps. That's where
you should be struggling.
Yeah.
So what do you tell people who say, well, I want to go to the gym, but I feel uncomfortable. Everyone there is perfect. I don't have the right clothes. I don't have the right body. I feel so uncomfortable. I don't want to go to the gym. What advice would you give them?
Well, there are often times when I just don't have the time to go to the gym. And well, first of all, let me start from the beginning. I really do believe that if you're going to go to the gym, you want to look your best while going anywhere you go, even to the gym. Because the minute you see your bedhead in the big mirror, you're going to want to go home.
And your T-shirt.
The minute you're like in a ripped T-shirt.
Your baggy leggings.
So if you're going to commit to going to the gym, I always get, you know, I always want to put on a cute workout outfit and good tennis shoes. I want to feel good, and I'll even like throw on a little tiny bit of mascara and some sunscreen because I don't want to scare myself in the mirror. And then, you know, you become unmotivated. So you do want to present yourself well in the gym because it's to your detriment if you don't. You know, you won't be motivated to do that. But in addition to that, there are times when I can't go to the gym. I don't have time. And I devised these 10-minute workout series on my YouTube channel, Live Young Lifestyle, so that you can do resistance training at home until you get to a point where you feel comfortable and motivated enough to go to a gym. For me, I like to be around other people because it does motivate me. Like if I'm in a class or if I'm in a Pilates class or a yoga class, or there's other people lifting in the gym next to me, it does push me a little bit more. So I like that, but there are a lot of people that don't feel comfortable doing that. Well, there are tons of YouTube videos out there. You know, you don't have to have the DVD players or order anything like that. I have a 10-minute ab series. I have a 10-minute full body toning series with a resistance band, and you can pile these on top of each other. So you could do a 10-minute ab, a 10-minute full body with resistance band, and a 10-minute arm, and you've got your 30-minute workout right
or
there.
You could just take 10 minutes.
Or you could take 10 minutes.
And just do the arms or just do the... And tell us again where we can find these videos.
So my YouTube channel is Live Young Lifestyle. So there's everything on there from... There's probably 5 or 6 exercise videos. They're all 10 minutes long. And I did that purposely because sometimes you only have 10 minutes. And you don't really need to work out for an hour. It's not about the length. It's about working out smart, you know, work out smart. If you're going to spend the time, really, really make a difference in your body, you know, work out smart. And you don't have to do that for even a half hour. A 10-minute total body, trust me, you will be sore the next day and you will be sweating. So there's those kind of things on my YouTube channel, as well as healthy recipes. So I tend to take recipes that I find in magazines or online, recipes that are supposed to be healthy, and I make them really healthy. So those recipes are also on there, as well as different lasers, I have an at-home device like we spoke about earlier, my favorite at-home anti-aging devices. And I interview a lot of dermatologists and doctors, and I'm like the guinea pig. I'll actually film the procedures.
I was going to say, not only do you interview them, you do the procedures with the camera on you.
Yes. I do. You know, yeah. I walk the walk. That's for sure.
Well, because it helps when someone sees what it is rather than just hears about it.
Yes.
And
I can also say, like, yeah, this doesn't tickle. This one kind of hurts a little bit. Like, it makes, I think, people, when they decide to try some of these little procedures, it gives them a little bit more reassurance that they've seen somebody go through it and they kind of know what to expect. And I'm completely honest about everything that I do. I'll tell you if something doesn't work, or don't waste your money on this, or, you know, I have clients sometimes that have had numerous children, and everybody's body reacts differently. So somebody who had three kids, might their skin elasticity might be shot, and they're not happy with the way that they look and don't want to be in a bikini anymore. When that person, you know, comes to me and asks for advice about certain lasers versus a tummy tuck, I will be brutally honest and tell them what I really feel. Don't waste your money on this. You're not a candidate for this. And so I really feel that helps people to be, to not waste their money on things and get the results that they're wanting.
Yeah, that's so true of everything. Not everyone is a candidate for anything. Mm-hmm. You know, there are many different roads to the top of the mountain, right?
Right.
And yeah. sometimes something topical is just not going to do it.
Yeah. And I'm not somebody who advocates plastic surgery. That's not what I'm about. But I do believe that if there is something that bothers you about how you look, and you have the financial means to change it, and you have the motivation to change it, and you feel that it will make your life better. Somebody who's worn a bikini their whole entire life and all of a sudden feels so self-conscious to even go to a beach, that is changing their life in a negative way. And if there's something that they can do to change that, and they want to, some people are happy just the way that they are, which is fantastic, but some people, they're not comfortable in their own skin, and they want to fix certain things. So I completely support people who want to go that route as well.
And for some people, you can change the way you think about it. Like, I had a patient who hated her stomach. And she was just like, oh, it's like this wasn't there. And she'd grab it and she'd be like, oh, look at this stuff on my stomach. It's disgusting. And she really hated herself because she hated her stomach. I mean, I'm like, please love yourself and hate your stomach. If you have to hate your stomach, at least love yourself. Don't make your self-definition so contingent on your stomach. One day, one of her kids was like lying on her stomach, and her kid was like, oh, I love my mommy pillow.
Oh, that's so cute.
And it was so adorable, and something just switched in her mind, and she was just like, oh my God, what is so repulsive and disgusting and abhorrent to me is something safe and comforting and cozy to my child.
Yeah.
And she ultimately started feeling, she just reframed the way she thought about her stomach.
Right.
So, you know, there's also that option. There's surgery, there's psychology, it's whatever's
self-love.
Right for you.
Yeah.
But you've got to, and also you've got to know that you're not going to like yourself better. You might be happier if you can rock a bikini.
Right.
But you're not going to be more likable. People say, well, when I lose weight, then I'm going to be more outgoing, and I'm going to be friendlier, and I'm going to have lots of guys to date. And like, no, wait, losing weight is not going to change your personality.
Right, right.
You know, losing weight is going to only change the number on the scale.
That's right. Yeah.
And recognizing
that
is important.
You got to have something else going on besides just the outsides.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I do talk a lot about that in my blogs and on my YouTube channel. There is a whole component to aging. That I think it's overlooked a lot. You know, when we're younger, we have all these milestones that we go through. You know, when I was 11, I was never 11. I was, you know, 11 and a half. You know, even if it was a day after my birthday, you kind of want to always be a little bit older because we have, you know, you want to be a teenager and you want to get your driver's license at 16. And then 18, you're an adult. You get to vote. And 21, you get to drink. And pretty soon we go through all these milestones. And what other milestones do we have? You know, if you've married, we have kids, and graduated from college, like what else do you have? And I think just as far as being happy on the inside, if you continue to set milestones for yourself, like I ran a marathon at 45. I'm going to do a Spartan race at 50. There are certain
things. What's a Spartan race?
A Spartan race is kind of it's like an obstacle course. So the one I'm starting it is a 3 to 5 mile obstacle course with 20 obstacles. So you're climbing over walls, you're climbing ropes, you're doing a SWAT crawl under barbed wire in the mud. It's
wow.
Just like a...
like marine training or something.
Kind of, yes.
Sounds
but it's
fun.
Just a way to set a goal for yourself. And then you have something to look forward to. Like, I'm excited to be 50. I've never had a problem with aging or with getting older. Because, if I had to go back and do my 20s again, there's no way.
No, thank you.
I would ever want to go back and do that again.
I'm with you.
Yeah, but we get to an age where we have found ourselves and we know who we are and we're pretty secure with who we are as people. We've come to terms with, okay, this is the good, bad, and the ugly. This is who I am. And then once we get our insides solidified like that, our outsides start melting and wrinkling up. So
it's so unfair. But now we have tips
yes.
to battle that.
Yeah. Yeah, but it is, the being young part of what I do has a lot to do with bucket lists. And, I have a 4-page bucket list that I started in 1994. And I cross off 2 things a year. The Spartan Race just happens to be the one that I'm one of the ones I'm crossing off this year. But I think having those bucket lists where you write things down, and I don't just mean like, oh, one day I want to go to Tahiti. No, I mean write it down, cut out a picture of Tahiti. Mm-hmm. different things that you feel like before I leave this planet, I'm going to do this. I'm going to jump out of
intention.
An airplane.
Yeah, like have a serious intention.
A serious intention, and one that you're kind of held accountable for. So mine is written down. It is in my when I watch TV at night and I open up my coffee table drawer to grab my lipstick or lip gloss or hand cream that's always stored in there. My bucket list is looking at me in the face, staring at me, saying, "What have you done for me lately?" So it's those kind of things that keep us motivated, learning something new, learning a language, things like that keep us young at heart.
Yes, two of the women, the most vibrant women that I know, are in their 70s, and one of them takes ballet. She had a hip surgery last year, and it only kept her out of ballet for 6 months, and she's right back in her ballet class.
That's
and
fantastic.
The other one is taking comedy a comedy improv classes, and she's like, "I'm not old. I'm in my 70s. That's not old." She has the most wonderful attitude.
Yeah, my mother-in-law is 85, and she is an amazing woman. In fact, I'm going to end up interviewing her for my YouTube channel. But she's 85. She takes 2 classes at UCLA. She's in a bend and stretch class. She's in a book club, an opera club, and a movie club. And so occasionally we host the movie club. We've hosted the movie club many times and the opera club many times. And it is a group of 10 to 15 people. My mother-in-law is the youngest at 85. And so there's, they keep their mind going.
Yes.
They're continually stimulating themselves with all of these things. And I think that is such a great way of living young.
Yes, because that way you retain your vitality.
Mm-hmm.
Vitality isn't a look.
Right.
Vitality is an experience. And you exude it because it comes from within and it's part of your
right.
experience of living.
Yeah.
And, you could be old at 25, and I've seen
exactly
old
right.
25-year-olds
mm-hmm.
and young
yeah.
at 75.
That's exactly right.
Yeah,
it has to do with attitude as well, yeah.
Well, any other tips for us that we haven't covered yet?
Well,
I know you have a lot of them because you've got 1,000 videos on.
Yeah.
Maybe not 1,000, but you've got so much content on your site, and it's really so amazing and so helpful.
Yeah, I mean, I want to go back again just to touch on, because we did talk a lot about weightlifting, but you really need another thing that we lose, we lose muscle mass at 30, but we also lose flexibility. And I really feel like my mother-in-law does that bend and stretch class, which is what reminded me of it. as we grow older, we have to force ourselves to stretch. We have to either be in yoga, or we have to be in a stretch class, or you take the time every night before you go to sleep to stretch, because all of those muscle fibers shrink and all of those, you know, everything starts to stiffen. And it is one way for us to, you know, not only does it help with circulation and it helps with mobility, but it's injury prevention. A couple of years ago, I was skiing with my kids, and I was at the top of a mountain, and I really don't like skiing. I don't really like being cold. It's not really my thing, but my kids love it, so I was doing it, and I can get down a mountain. But I fell backwards, and one of my skis was pointing down the slope, and one of my legs was up over my head with the ski going this way on top of my head, like in a diagonal. And I was sliding down the mountain, and my kids were at the bottom looking at me with, like, wide-eyed horror in their face. And I just thought, well, I could try to stand up, but that might be a little awkward, and I might start rolling. I'm just going to keep sliding. I'm moving down. I'm going the right direction. And so when I came to a stop at the bottom, my kids ran up to me, and we're like, oh, my God, Mom, are you okay? Are you okay? They thought I had broken my leg. Had I not been keeping up with flexibility, I probably would have broken my leg. So right. Those two things, I think, as far as being a physical person in the world, will help you with injury prevention as we get older. So you have to do both of those.
Well, Darnell, you have such a plethora of great tips, and you are just an encyclopedia of anti-aging in one person. Thank you so much for being here. Tell us again how people can find you.
So my website is liveyounglifestyle.com, and my YouTube is liveyounglifestyle.com. Sorry.
She also has a cold. I want you to know she came here. She's not feeling well, and yet she is here.
I know. I told Dr. Nina, don't hug me because I'm sick. And I almost made it through the interview without it being a factor. But anyways, my YouTube channel is Live Young Lifestyle.
Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. This was great. Thank you.
And that's our show for today. Thank you so much for joining me here on LA Talk Radio. I'm here every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific, where you can listen live or you can listen online on iTunes. And if you like the show, please remember to leave a rating or a review, because that really helps us reach more people with all these fabulous ideas and tips from people like Darnell. So, see you next week.
You're listening to The Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle-Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.